How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday. 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94 and 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Obviously, second biggest day of the year for WWE, the Royal Rumble, is tonight, and we are going to do a full preview of the show. Talk about all of the matches. The road to WrestleMania is kicking off. Talk about the title match, the Royal Rumble, everything going on with the show tonight. Some people who are backstage, likely surprise entrance into the Rumble. A lot of other stuff as well. Obviously, we'll talk some Raw, The Rock, CM Punk, SmackDown, and a bunch of other WWE-related news as well. In addition to a bunch of other news. TNA is over in the UK. They've taped a whole bunch of television leading to the lockdown pay-per-view. We're going to tell you about that. There have been some title changes. There have been some interesting developments in TNA. We'll give you all of the information on that. Plus, of course, last night was the UFC on Fox show with Demetrius Johnson and John Dodson, two flyweights in the main event. How did the show do? Here's a hint. A lot better than pretty much everybody expected. So we're going to tell you about that. We'll also run down all of the matches on the show. Talk about some upcoming bouts in UFC. There are a lot of big shows coming up. And it's a very interesting time in both WWE, UFC, and TNA. Big things about to take place in 2013. We'll also tell you about a bunch of other news from the world of pro wrestling and mixed martial arts this week, including the debut of King Mo in Bellator, the whole Bellator Spike TV UFC situation. Eddie Alvarez will talk about a very, very bad decision that Ric Flair made that apparently I don't believe he paid for, although we don't have a big update on it, but Ric Flair was scheduled to go to Japan and wrestle, and he was not allowed to work due to health reasons. And he then proceeded to, well, get back on a plane to the U.S. with a blood clot in his leg. We'll tell you all about that and so much more. Tons of stuff coming up here today on the program, so stick around. Be right back. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for the next 2 hours. Pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And Mike, today is the Royal Rumble. It is traditionally the second biggest pay-per-view of the year for WWE. It's going to be quite a day. And are you excited for the Rumble?
Very excited. This can actually be sometimes, as history has shown, not as much in the last couple of years, but history shows that this could be one of the more fun things. Obviously, WrestleMania is the big event of the year. And there's all the pomp and circumstance that goes around it, the fan fest and all those other things. And it's great, but you're usually building to that event, so you don't get that many surprises. You may get them in the form of you know, people popping up like Muppets or them doing skits or some sort of thing like that. But there's usually never any big surprises on the show. With the Royal Rumble, with the 30, you know, having 30 contestants, you will always get somebody from over the years. You know, it's been the Honky Tonk Man or somebody like that. And this year, the way it's been announced, in fact, I think it was last year, or 2 years ago, where we actually got Booker T, I guess it was a couple years ago now, Booker T and Kevin Nash, with who they have announced and some of the rumors that we've heard from backstage and people who just, happen to be in town for the Rumble. It looks like we're going to get that again. And if you're a wrestling fan, I mean, that's always fun. It's the one day of the year you get a bunch of matches on the show. But then you get all of these people, some of which you only see once a year in that match.
Yeah, there's several interesting names in town. Not all of them are going to be in the actual Rumble. Some are just in town. I know that Chris Masters is there, for example, and Carlito and Shelton Benjamin. I would expect Shelton to be in the Rumble, probably Carlito as well. Not sure about Chris Masters. And many names. I think Rikishi was scheduled, but he can't make it. As of the moment, only 18 spots have officially been filled. That leaves space for 12 mystery entrants Although, obviously, a lot of those spots will be filled by guys that are currently on the roster that just haven't been announced yet. So what we're going to do is we are going to run down the list of individuals in the Royal Rumble, and Mike and I are going to give what we believe for each man, believe it or not, his percentage, his chance of winning in percentage form. Now, granted, on SmackDown, I believe that, I can't remember who it was. Somebody said that, somebody claimed that Daniel Bryan and Kane only had a 1 in 30 chance of winning, which actually would be incorrect. It would be 1 in 15. But that also was incorrect because, for example, John Cena does not have a 1 in 30 chance of winning. He has probably a 1 in 1 chance, for example. So we'll just say, for example, John Cena has, I believe, a 95% chance of winning. What are your thoughts?
I would actually go with that. I would go with 90 or 95%. That's a very safe one. It would be the one that, you know, on paper makes the most sense. I know a lot of people have talked, and even WWE has batted around the idea of the CM Punk defeating The Rock and then them doing something else on the way to Mania. But it seems like the most logical way to go is probably the smartest way to go, which is have The Rock beat CM Punk tonight, John Cena wins the Rumble, and then you get the twice-in-the-lifetime match at WrestleMania.
That's right. Why screw up what seems to be a storyline that would make sense? And it's a nice, actually 2-year-long storyline here, if everything goes as planned. And certainly makes the most sense for Cena to win the Rumble and Rock to beat CM Punk, although we will get into the Rock-Punk match here in a while. Randy Orton is the next entrant, and I would say he's got probably a 5% chance of winning.
You know, I'll actually go with a 50% chance, even though it is ridiculous. That this is
50%?
Well, as we go through the list, there will be so many people with a flatline zero. You got to have some sort of dark horse, which, under the circumstances of this year's Royal Rumble, as big of a star as Randy Orton is and everything else on paper, he's a dark horse candidate. So they could always do something along those lines. I mean, hey, have Randy Orton win, have The Rock win at the Royal Rumble. Randy Orton turns on him. You could make some sense out of things that way, and they could go on and face off at WrestleMania. I doubt that's going to happen, but since you need a dark horse, I'll actually go with a 50-50 shot for Randy Orton.
All right. Sheamus, I would say, also has about a 5% chance of winning. Doesn't seem to be in any major plans. I suppose he could win and then challenge Alberto Del Rio, although Del Rio is now a babyface, so I'm thinking the chance of that happening are very slim. I would say 5% for Sheamus.
Yeah, won't go down that far, but I'll say a 25% chance. Sheamus is, there's too many other matches out there and things for Sheamus to be doing than to be tied in the main event of WrestleMania, and that's not an insult or anything like that to him, but you look up and down and you go, well, Wade Barrett's going to have somebody if he's still the IC champion, Cesaro the U.S. champion. Up and down the line, you figure Sheamus is going to be doing something else when it comes time for April.
See, now, Dolph Ziggler, I would give a 25% chance of winning. I believe that my math, obviously, is not working out. I can't give one guy a 90% chance and another guy a 25% chance. I don't think that's how it works.
Well, it's always loaded with Rumble, too, because you always have the out and saying, if you draw the 27th, you know, pick and there's only five people in the match, I mean, your odds go up dramatically.
Sure. I think Ziggler's got a 25% chance. I think that obviously they're going to be doing, this is not obvious, but this is the idea, Dolph Ziggler and Alberto Del Rio at WrestleMania. So if Alberto hangs on to the title, then Dolph Ziggler could win the Royal Rumble, and then he faces Alberto for the title. I don't know how the Money in the Bank briefcase would play into all of this. Perhaps there'd be a cash-in. Perhaps there'd be, I don't know what they'll do. But I'd give Ziggler a, or maybe Ziggler ends the Rumble with two guaranteed title shots, one with the briefcase and one with his Rumble win. And you could even do a deal where he goes to WrestleMania, gets his title shot, Alberto Del Rio beats him, and then he cashes in immediately and wins the title. There's different ways you can go. But Dolph Ziggler, I'd go as far as to give a 25% chance of winning.
Now, is there a chance, though, that he wins the Rumble, actually wins the title, without cashing in Money in the Bank, and then he's actually got to cash in the Money in the Bank on himself?
You could try.
You know what? If anybody could do it nowadays, I think Dolph Ziggler probably could.
Or he's the champion and he's always got insurance. So if he loses a match, he gets an automatic rematch.
That's true. Or he could give the briefcase to Biggie Langston or something like that, and he could bust him over the head with it. You know, it's just a thank you to him, and he busts him over the head with it. But getting off into too many things there. I'll say because of the options you have with Dolph Ziggler, even though I completely see him either winning the title and going into WrestleMania and facing off of Alberto, or at least challenging Alberto at WrestleMania, I'll actually go with a 75% chance. No, you know what? That's way too high. I'll just put him in the Randy Orton category with the 50% with a little bit of an asterisk. So I guess 51%, just because you could do different things with him holding the Money in the Bank briefcase.
I would go as far as to say that I give him a 25% chance of winning the Rumble, but a 50% chance of either winning the Rumble or the title on this show. How about that?
And that's, again, as we will go through the matches on the Rumble, too, that can make complete sense because of the match that Alberto and Big Show are having.
And, of course, the gimmick is that he must enter either number one or number two, which, of course, since number one and number two start, he's the first person in the Royal Rumble this year, regardless of which number he chooses.
By the way, some of the drama has been taken out of it, but another one of the reasons that the Royal Rumble is always so great is because, and again, this takes us back to our youth, and I can't remember exactly what year it was, say it's 1990, when Demolition came out and they faced off with each other, and I think they tried to replicate that years later down the road, but when Axe and Smash came out, and it was just something that nobody expected, even though it was an obvious thing to do, at some point, that's one of the things you can also sometimes get with the Rumble.
That's right. Number two could be Big E Langston, for all we know.
Probably not. Probably not AJ either, although, well, that could be... No, that wouldn't be entertaining at all. I'm sorry.
All right, before we go to commercial, Heath Slater, Jinder Mahal, and Drew McIntyre, I all give a 0% chance of winning.
Also, and speaking of not entertaining, 0% chance for the poor people in 3MB, which, when it comes to Drew McIntyre, is amazing you could say that if a couple years ago.
All right, we're halfway through our rundown of the wrestlers so far announced for the Royal Rumble. So when we come back from the break, we're going to run down the rest of them. So stick around, everybody. It is Royal Rumble Sunday here on Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94 and 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, and available on the TuneIn Radio app, which you can get for your smartphone. TuneIn Radio app. You can search for Sports Byline, listen to all of the great Sports Byline programming that is available, plus Wrestling Observer Live new and archived episodes. So check that out. We also archive the episodes over at WrestlingObserver.com. And if you're listening for free and are not a subscriber, follow me on Twitter at Brian Alvarez. We do one free show a week in addition to this show, and I always tweet the link. So if you want more free audio, you can always follow me on Twitter at Brian Alvarez, or just head up to the website. We've got a listing of free radio shows on the site as well. And Mike is at Sempervivi. And I should note that on Twitter tonight, at Brian Alvarez, I'm going to be doing live running play-by-play of the Royal Rumble. So I'm about 20 followers away from the big 10K. So hopefully we hit that tonight, and should be a lot of fun. So we are running down the odds for each of our participants in the Royal Rumble. And I think we all agreed Heath Slater, Jinder Mahal, and Drew McIntyre had about a 0% chance of winning. That brings us to Antonio Cesaro, the U.S. champion. I would give him a 1% chance.
You know, I'll go with your 1%. It would be the most epic of surprises, and I guess in the truest sense of the word, if you look at Orton and Sheamus as big superstars, if you wanted to pick a dark horse, it would be Antonio Cesaro, who they have... They obviously like a lot, and as well they should. He's been doing this a long time. He seems to be adapting well to the quote-unquote WWE style, and as he gets more comfortable on the microphone and getting more comfortable with his shtick down and what they want out of him, it's looking like things are going to be very good for him. So just because of the fact that they seem to have faith in him, much like you, I'll have enough faith to give him 1% chance of winning the Rumble.
Wade Barrett, I would give a 1% chance, and that's probably closer to a 0.5% chance. But I figure, I suppose he's got a 1% chance. I give any heel a 1% chance because they could always win and challenge Alberto Del Rio. So pretty much any of these heels get at least 1%. Baby faces, I'm afraid I'm giving you about a 0% chance in nearly every case.
I'll even do more for Wade. I'll bump him up to a 5% chance because unlike Cesaro, he is truly a product of WWE. He is very, very good. And he's going to continue to be good. And once he actually gets his teeth in a main event type of thing, I think he's going to be, in a way, quote-unquote, the next Sheamus, the next guy to truly try to crack into that upper tier. I really do believe that because he's got the whole package. And just because of that and the fact that it's, Cesaro, obviously they like him a lot, but they probably see him in just the IC type of, position. I could see them liking Wade Barrett a lot more, and just because for that reason, I'll bump it up 4% and give him a 5% chance of winning the Rumble.
Ryback. Ryback, believe it or not, Ryback I'm going to give a 50% chance of winning. I'll tell you why. I think that if you look at this card, and we're going to run down the rest of the card here in a bit, but you've got Team Hell No against Team Rhodes Scholars, Alberto Del Rio versus Big Show, Punk versus Rock, and the Royal Rumble. I think if you look at the card, virtually everybody listening to this, I think, maybe with the exception of the Team Hell No match, because honest to God, it doesn't matter, although I think the Rhodes Scholars should win the belts. I think everybody can look up and down the card and just kind of throw out, like, Alberto wins, Rock wins, and Cena wins the Rumble. So I think that they've got to, I don't think they have to. In fact, I prefer if they didn't, but I think that they probably feel this need. They may even feel this afternoon to mix something up. Let's change something in order to surprise people. So I think it would be foolish for the Big Show to win the title back from Alberto Del Rio. They just started this Alberto Del Rio push. They just gave him the title. They want a new Hispanic superstar. They want to make a big deal out of Alberto Del Rio. I think it would be foolish to take the title off him right now. But if they wanted to throw a monkey wrench into everything, then looking at the matches that they have on the books for WrestleMania already, the world title really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. So you could have the Big Show win the title from Alberto Del Rio tonight in whatever way he does so. And then Ryback wins the Royal Rumble, and you do Ryback versus Big Show for the title, the world title, at WrestleMania. So I would give Ryback a 50% chance of winning. Mike? Mike Sempervivi? Are you there?
Hello, there we go.
There we go.
I was just so flabbergasted.
You were so gobsmacked by my prediction that you vanished.
Yes, 25%. I'm going to go with Ryback. Not obviously, you could do a million and one things. As you mentioned, one of them you could do if you had Ryback win, and it would be a very impactful thing to do, considering that he's lost most of his big matches. He's been laid out by the Shield plenty of times. If you wanted to add some extra fire to him, what better way than to win the Royal Rumble? They don't have a King of the Ring type of situation anymore, so this would be very, very impactful if you did it. I just think, again, you can have Ryback at WrestleMania kill 7 dudes in a row or something like that. There's lots of things you can do. I think he's got a 25% chance of winning it. What's more interesting to me will be how he's actually eliminated from the match, because I think that's going to be the most key thing. I mean, you don't have a lot of mega huge men in this match where you always have that thing where like 7 guys were trying to get Big John Studd over or something like that. So it'll be interesting to see how Ryback actually gets eliminated.
The more I think about this, the more I realize how ridiculous this game is that we're playing. How can I give John Cena a 95% chance while simultaneously giving Ryback a 50% chance?
Well, when you have 30 men coming in at 90-second intervals, as designed in Pat Patterson's mind, anything can happen. As far as I'm concerned, this is professional wrestling we're talking about. That math can be justified.
I'm making up my own math. We're going to keep going. Titus O'Neil and Darren Young, I give a 0% chance. No chance.
0% chance. But I do like them, especially No Days Off Darren Young.
Kane, I give no chance.
Yeah, 0% for him, and I don't know what you're feeling about Daniel Bryan, but yeah, he fits nicely into that 0% category as well.
Afraid so. Daniel Bryan, you have 0% chance of winning the Royal Rumble, as does the great Khali. Zero, actually, you know what? 1% chance, because I think they could be crazy enough to, like, let's put the title on Big Show and then do the biggest world title match in Mania history or something wacky like that. And have Big Show versus Khali. In fact, 0% chance. That'll never happen.
Yeah, 0% chance. I can't believe I forgot about poor great Khali when I said there wasn't going to be another guy. Ryback would be the big guy to get over. Although, with that said, I mean, realistically, with the condition of great Khali's in, AJ could jump in the ring, start skipping around him. He could start getting a little bit confused and just fall over the top rope with the condition those legs are in.
And Kofi Kingston, 0% chance.
Yeah, 0% for Kofi, too. The Rock has apparently started to take Kofi under his wing and everything. And, you know, at some point, they're going to have to kind of poop or get off the pot when it comes to Kofi, as far as is he going to be just Kofi Kingston the way we know him now, or Kofi Kingston on another level. And obviously, they could do that with a lot of impact tonight. I just don't think they will, but hopefully they do soon enough.
We have some notes from the building, by the way, as we run through this. By the way, I should note Bo Dallas as well. He is he was in NXT. They had a Royal Rumble Fan Fest tournament, and involved were Corey Graves, Oliver Gray, Luke Harper, Xavier Woods, Connor O'Brien, Adrian Neville, and Leo Kruger. And Bo Dallas won the tournament, so he is not only in the Rumble, but he is now a regular on the roster. And I give him a -1% chance of winning.
That blows me away, and it's kind of bizarre when you think about his brother, Wyndham Rotunda, who Bray Wyatt is his name now, and formerly known as Husky Harris. It's kind of amazing that Bo Dallas is in this year's Royal Rumble, and Bray Wyatt's still in Florida.
All right, before we get into the rest of the card, a couple of notes from the building. As noted, Carlito, Shelton, Benjamin, Chris Masters, all in town. Hurricane Helms is in town as well. And I have been told that Sin Cara is in the building. So apparently he will be in the Royal Rumble. Although, this person noted that he had not seen Rey yet. So I don't know if Rey is going to be in the Royal Rumble. It would make sense that he would be. But who knows? The Rumble, as of Friday, scheduled to go on last. So make of that what you will. Rock versus Punk would go on earlier in the show. And maybe they figure that if Cena's going to win and Rock is going to win, then if Cena wins the Rumble, everybody's going to know Rock is going to win against Punk. Whereas if Rock wins, there's still doubt that perhaps someone else could win the Rumble and challenge for the world title. So I guess that's why it is going on last. And one other note that they did fan access for the Royal Rumble this year. They do access at the WrestleMania every year. And apparently this was an experiment to do a Royal Rumble access. And apparently it got over huge. And so the plan is that every year now at the Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, and SummerSlam, they are going to do a fan access event. And this year at Survivor Series, they are going to do a fan access as well. So the Big Four pay-per-views, the traditional Big Four pay-per-views, will also have weekends scheduled around them with fan access. So for those of you that love that, if a show is coming to your town, you're also going to get a fan access for Rumble Mania, SummerSlam, or Survivor Series. So there you go. When we come back from the break, we've obviously got more matches to talk about. We're going to run down the main card of the show. Team Hell No versus Road Scholars, Alberto Del Rio versus Big Show, Punk versus Rock. We already talked about the Royal Rumble. There is a pre-show match as well with Antonio Cesaro versus The Miz. We're going to talk about that. All of our predictions are coming up after the break. So stick around for that, everybody, and we shall be back in just a moment. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here for the next hour and a half talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. It is the Royal Rumble today, starting at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. I'll be doing live running play-by-play up at Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. Dave Meltzer, live running play-by-play on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. And Mike Sempervivi perhaps will be tweeting about it at Sempervivi on Twitter. So check all of that out. We, of course, are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94 and 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet, up at WrestlingObserver.com, plus, of course, the TuneIn Radio app. If you search Sports Byline on the TuneIn Radio app, you can listen to all of the great Sports Byline programming, including this radio show. And, of course, WrestlingObserver.com, the place to go for all of your wrestling audio needs. Daily radio shows, as well as every show that we have ever done, dating back to 2005, archived on the website. If you head down to WrestlingObserver.com and scroll down the right-hand side of the page, a listing of our latest 4 free radio shows. Download those and get a sample. Not that it would be all that much different from what you're listening to right now, but we have a lot of different shows, a lot of different themes. Mixed martial arts, pro wrestling, Japanese pro wrestling, interviews with some of the biggest stars in the history of wrestling. Actually, I had a very wacky interview with Brian Kendrick, formerly Spanky, Brian Kendrick of WWE and TNA and ROH, that is up on the Wrestling Observer website right now. And obviously, if you follow me on Twitter, I'll give you updates as to when the free radio shows go up as well. So at Brian Alvarez, I'm, I think, 20 people away from the big 10Ks. Hopefully we hit that today. And Mike, we are running down the Royal Rumble, and it's time to talk about the main show. Antonio Cesaro defending the U.S. title against The Miz. Who's winning?
Antonio Cesaro. And I hope he does it with a correct, proper figure four, just to throw it into Miz's face. I almost blew your phone up, and I'm on the East Coast, you're on the West Coast, and I know you don't see the show until later, but I was about to blow your phone up during Raw, and I just had to put it down and say it was not worth it. My hatred towards The Miz right now is at some other ungodly level, just because, I mean, I'm the kind of guy who's always been fair to Flair, and because Ric Flair would be fair to you, even though he may not be fair to his own body, as we'll talk about later. But not being fair with the figure four leg lock, I mean, I know Flair does it from the non-traditional side. It was just the way that he does it. But still, there was no excuse in the world for a guy that's been wrestling for long enough at this point to have screwed up a figure four that badly.
Yeah, my newsletter is now named after Miz's finisher. It's I don't even know
what
to say.
That was a figure negative forelock.
That was a figure forgot, I believe, as Hurricane Helms called it.
That was awful. And even more than that, but besides all of that stuff, it's just not the time to take the title off of Antonio Cesaro. It doesn't really make any sense. And I have a feeling if they do that, it'll be a situation where either on main event or on SmackDown or something like that, Cesaro gets the title back. I think if there's any change whatsoever, it's just to hype up the fact that it's the pre-show and to maybe get the people in the arena, you know, get them to pop before the main show. That would be the only reason I could conceive of doing that.
All right. So the other matches here, I was trying to actually get an update on Ric Flair. We should probably talk about that right now, actually. No word on Ric Flair, which actually in this situation, I think no news is good news, because Ric Flair was scheduled to go to Japan and wrestle. And on the flight over, or I guess actually after landing, it was discovered that he had a blood clot in his leg. Not good. So the doctor told him, absolutely, you cannot wrestle, and you need to go to the hospital. So Ric Flair instead went to the building. He didn't wrestle, but he did manage. Got in the ring, threw some chops, did way more than he should have, literally pretty much on one leg. And he was told, you've got to go to the hospital and get this taken care of. And Ric Flair decided that since he had an autograph signing today here on the West Coast, and since he figured if he went into the hospital in Japan, they would keep him there forever, he decided, I am going to get back on the airplane, a pressurized airplane, in with a blood clot, and I'm going to fly all the way back to the United States with nowhere to land over the ocean. And he was scheduled to land at about 9 a.m. this morning. So I would presume that if he didn't make it, everybody would have heard about it by now. So I presume he made it back okay. But what a horrendous decision that was.
That was, just an ungodly stupid decision. I mean, one of the ways that blood clots kill people, and they've been reporting on this in the last, decade more and more. I think they call it, I forget what they call it, like business traveler syndrome or coach flight syndrome, because you don't get a chance to move around, to get up and walk around. And it's always an issue with causing blood clots. And now you have Flair getting off the plane with one. He goes and does autograph signings there. God knows how long he was at the building for, and did what he did in the match, in which his son Reed Flair, who was scheduled to team with Jimmy Yang on the show, he ends up getting moved into that semi-main event spot and gets to work with team along with Keiji Muto against Seiya Sonata and Tatsumi Fujinami. So great experience for him. But then Flair getting back on the plane and going back, it's just dumb. It's just stupid. It's dumb. If it's only because he needed the money to do the autograph signings and he couldn't back out of those, I mean, that's just pure insanity. I mean, just it really, really is.
Well, we will continue to monitor this. If we hear anything, we will let you know. But again, having not heard anything, I mean, if he didn't make it and the plane landed at 9 a.m., I presume this would be news. But it is certainly much later, so hopefully everything is all right. But that is the Ric Flair story, so we're crossing our fingers there. Team Hell No against Team Road Scholars. Tag team match for the title. Kane and Daniel Bryan against Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow. Hoping that the title changes hands. I think Cody and Damian Sandow are they've been in line for the titles. I think it's time. And then, of course, you could do a rematch at WrestleMania or something like that. Keep those guys busy. But I think it'll be a fun match, and I'm a big fan of the Road Scholars.
Yeah, absolutely. I am, too. And it's just, with them doing the Kane-Daniel Bryan thing on this past Monday night, even though it was a perfect opportunity for Road Scholars to come in, they didn't. Not sure why that is at the end, because, frankly, you could have used it. But, yeah, they've been ready for this for a while, and it just makes the most sense. And you could always do this again at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, while you think about if you're going to have a tag team title match at WrestleMania or not. So, yeah, it's time to do it now. Get some of their rematch, and then you can see from there.
All right, we've got Alberto Del Rio versus The Big Show. It is a last man standing match for the title. I think this match was originally scheduled to take place on this show as far as like the title change where Alberto won the title. So my guess is they're just doing the exact same match they were going to do anyway. But it's kind of odd that that the match where Alberto won the title was last man standing, and they really couldn't come up with a different stipulation for the Royal Rumble. It's the exact same match. It's the exact same stipulation. So I presume they're just going to play off that match. My gut, I would say 95% chance Alberto Del Rio wins. I mean, the idea here is they're trying to make a Cain Velasquez. I know people hate the MMA analogies, but I mean, this title change taking place on SmackDown literally came about a week after WWE became aware that the Velasquez pay-per-view, his title win over Junior Dos Santos, did way better than everybody was expecting. Fans were into the Hispanic superstar fighting for and winning the title. So they put the title on Alberto, and I just don't see him taking him off at this point. It makes no sense. So 95% chance Alberto retains, although they could, as noted, put the title on Big Show, do Big Show versus Ryback at WrestleMania. There's all sorts of things they can do. But my guess is Alberto wins.
Yeah, I could probably go on for a while for how ridiculous that statement is, that when WWE was made aware of Cain Velasquez, they figured, okay, we can push a Mexican. I mean, it's only the most growth in this country has come from Latin America, especially Mexico, and take one of about a zillion other reasons why. It's just amazing that they have this issue. I mean, that was the whole point of getting Sin Cara and then didn't know how to use him, which is another story altogether. Yeah, Alberto Del Rio is Mexican. If you didn't know that, then you have not been watching WWE programming, but they need to drive that home and make sure that you know he is Mexican. And not because he's Mexican, just because it makes the most sense in the story and how things are going. and to continue to build him up, I think Alberto Del Rio beats Big Show. Now, whether he goes ahead and loses to Dolph Ziggler is a different story, because if we're still playing the odds game, I mean, the way it is, we've almost gone, you know, what's it been now, damn near a year. You know, there's, let's say it's a 75% chance that Dolph goes ahead and takes the title off of him tonight.
And finally, CM Punk and The Rock, everybody. From day one.
It's not flashy, and I know that the people could, and there's a lot of great stories that you could do, but as of right now, I still think the simplest thing is still the best thing. And that's, you know, the Rock going ahead and winning the match tonight, have Cena go ahead and win the Royal Rumble, and then have those two face off. I know, you know, after last year, people may not want to see it again and things like that, but at least the people listening to this show, I think a majority of people, though, at home, this is what you want. You're going to have John Cena on the Fruity Pebbles box. You have them go back and forth. They had a great rapport with each other. Good match. No complaints out of me whatsoever. That's the decision they decide to make.
From day one, the idea has been that Rock's winning the title here on this show. And obviously, in the end, he's going to win the title. Where and when is that can always be changed. They had discussed the idea of Punk winning this match, and then The Rock goes on and wins the title at Elimination Chamber, and you get to where you were going with John Cena versus The Rock, Cena challenging for the title at WrestleMania, and you do a rematch of the just barely second biggest WrestleMania match of all time. In fact, as of today, it could be the biggest. It's within thousands of buys from the record. So I do think, however, from watching television and from listening to Rock's promos, I mean, it's not like a hard and fast rule. Rules can be broken. But traditionally, when you're the top babyface or a gigantic babyface, as The Rock is, and you promise the people that you're going to win the title, and you swear to God that you are going to win the title, you end up winning the title. So I think that they may have had some discussions about different scenarios, but I think that as of the last couple of weeks, the idea has been that Rock beats Punk for the title, ends the reign here on this show, and then, of course, John Cena ends up winning the Rumble, and as noted, you've got your twice-in-a-lifetime main event for WrestleMania. And granted, yes, some people are going to be unhappy. Oh, man, everybody saw that coming. John Cena wins and The Rock wins. How predictable. You know what? Some of the best storylines in history have been very predictable. And in this main event, Rock versus John Cena for the championship in the main event of WrestleMania in the New York market, guaranteed, in my opinion, the biggest WrestleMania of all time. So, yes, some people listening to this are going to be unhappy, but we got to look at the masses here. What is the most lucrative match humanly possible? And I'm afraid it is The Rock versus John Cena for the title in the New York market at WrestleMania. And so that is ultimately where they're going to end up, however they do anything tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Hands down. It's like the old-timers, you never want to give the fans what they want because then they won't come back, except for when you need to give them what they want. And, you know, for the masses on this, I think there will be a great air of disappointment if The Rock, you know, who said he was going to come back and win the title, the guy who, like you said, swore to God he was going to do it. It would be kind of crazy for him not to go ahead and do it tonight.
All right, everybody, we'll head to a break. When we come back, we've got more to talk about on the Royal Rumble. So back in just a moment, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94 and 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Royal Rumble is beginning in about an hour. And Mike, we're here down to the nitty-gritty. And are you doing like any sort of, are you having buddies over? Are you doing the old Royal Rumble pool? Are you all picking numbers? Or are you just watching it by yourself?
No, back in the day, so you can't do this anymore. Now that I'm a father and a kept man, I'll be tweeting from the silence of the office that I have here. But back in the day, you know, we're in high school, and then you know, going into college, being derelicts and not caring, it was an excuse to party. Obviously, kayfabe week always took place the week of WrestleMania, where you break out the old tapes and just, you know, as a reason to celebrate being just an idiot wrestling fan. But the Royal Rumble was always awesome for that, too. And, you know, when it came to having a bunch of people over and that sort of stuff, it was because of the surprise aspect and things like that, which is why we were able to throw that party, which got a little more adult as the years went on, especially in college, too. There was a whole lot of time wasted.
I'm going to a Royal Rumble party. We got food and drink. Apparently everyone's going to pick numbers or something like that.
Are you bringing a dish?
A dish?
Yes.
I don't think so.
I wasn't sure if it was like a potluck sort of thing. Everybody comes over, they bring a dish, and whoever, you know, you can pick a wrestler or a number, and then, you know.
No, my buddy Andy says he's got it all taken care of, so I may bring something. But it's going to be a good time. He's got a bunch of people RSVP'd, and best of all, there may be free Cold Stone ice cream for this Royal Rumble party. So, yes.
RSVP, you are classy.
Well, I was forced to.
Oh.
But yes, I for those of you that are not website subscribers, in a week, I'm going on my honeymoon to Hawaii. And I'll be gone for 2 weeks. I've been training very hard to get into beach shape, but as noted, free Cold Stone today, so diet's off! But I don't care, because it's Royal Rumble Sunday, and we're all going to have a good time. And we're going to have a good time in hour two. So, we'll be back in just a moment with more. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, joined as we are every week by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare up at WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com and on the TuneIn Radio app. If you search for the Sports Byline feed, you can listen to Wrestling Observer Live every Sunday at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Also archives on the TuneIn Radio app as well if you want to listen to old shows. We spent the first hour talking about the Royal Rumble and giving percentages and predictions and such for the show. And, of course, this is all leading to Raw tomorrow. What's happening on Raw tomorrow? I have absolutely no idea. But we'll get the build to the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, which is the next pay-per-view for WWE, the one between Rumble and WrestleMania. And it is believed that win or lose tonight, Rock is probably either fighting for or defending the title on the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. So that is yet another wrestling date for The Rock. He is going to be on virtually every show. He's on Raw. He's on SmackDown. Not on Main Event yet, but who knows? There's still time. And then, of course, he's going to be wrestling at the WrestleMania show. So a very packed schedule for The Rock. And meanwhile, he's got like four movies that he's got to prepare to do press and media and pub for. So this guy is a very busy man, Mike.
Yeah, and I can see after WrestleMania him taking some extended time from all of this, because it seems like with how some of these junkets are on and things like that, he is literally going to be on planes a whole lot of the time. So, yeah, I guess it's one of those situations where you really should enjoy it while it's happening, because, you know, realistically, after WrestleMania in a couple months, we could not be seeing The Rock again for a long, long time.
I'm going to give you a little while to think about this, Mike, but the question after the break, what about next year? Does The Rock come back, or what is WrestleMania built around? We'll talk about that after the break, everybody. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 94 and 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Tune in radio app. Search Sports Byline. Also up, of course, at WrestlingObserver.com. And we are talking the Royal Rumble and all of the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. We're going to get into UFC on Fox here in a bit. But, Mike, with the Royal Rumble taking place tonight and all of these plans leading into WrestleMania, what do you do for WrestleMania 2014? Does The Rock come back again? Do you do Rock versus Cena for the third time? What is the storyline?
Well, remind me where it's at.
Where what's at?
Where WrestleMania will be at next year.
Oh, it's probably New Orleans, but we don't know for sure.
Okay. It's all, to me, a lot of it hinges on, can Austin come back and do one more? Because you always have, you could do Austin Rock, because that's one of those matches, and again, with the condition that Austin's into, I mean, he looks like $1 million, but he obviously has got issues where he can't just work with anybody in a match. And those two could stand there, you know, and do nothing or sing or whatever it is, and people will be throwing their wallets as well as their babies at it. So you always have that option, as long as Steve Austin can do one. Another part of this is The Undertaker. What can The Undertaker do? Can he stick around for next year? Is he going to have one this year? You know, does he have one next year? And you're in the same spot. So I think because of those two, and throw Brock Lesnar into that mix too. It looks as though he's going to sign a new deal, if he hasn't already, that will extend out his dates. And again, doing the same thing, if Brock doesn't work that much this year and you use him in quality positions, you know, you have that ace in the hole too, as well as using the year for Sheamus and for Barrett and for some other guys like that to figure out, you know, to elevate them up and to see where you want them. So, again, as long as you have John Cena, as long as you have CM Punk, and you have the ability to reach back on Undertaker, Triple H, Brock Lesnar, possibly Austin and The Rock, you know, there's about a million and one things you can do.
I think my pick for what to do next year is concentrate on guys you've got. I don't think Rock coming back for a third straight year. I mean, I guess if he's got some sort of dream match, if you're going to do like Rock versus Undertaker or something like that for WrestleMania 30, it'd be cool.
Well, he's the icing.
I think that my pick is that Rock beats CM Punk tonight. Cena wins the Rumble. And so Punk is like left out in the cold. And I don't know what you do with him at WrestleMania. But somehow you move him out of the title picture. And you have him do other stuff over the course of the next year. And I think John Cena should win the title at WrestleMania. And I know some people will be absolutely appalled with this idea, but John Cena wins every pay-per-view main event over the course of the next year. And CM Punk around Royal Rumble time starts realizing that, huh, this guy has held this title continuously for 9 months. I need to stop this. And somehow you get Punk in the Rumble. He wins the Rumble. And the storyline going into next year's WrestleMania is CM Punk is determined to beat John Cena so that John Cena does not break his record. And at that point, you do the match, and probably Cena beats Punk. But then you could do Punk-Cena for another 3 or 4 months after that, because each pay-per-view, you do a different stipulation match, and on the line is not only the title, but it's getting closer and closer and closer to Punk breaking Cena breaking Punk's record. And again, you're building everything around John Cena. I know people will be absolutely appalled at that idea, but listen, I don't know how much longer John Cena has left. So you could end up doing this as the final big run of John Cena's big-time WWE career. And maybe in the end, Punk beats him, and I don't know. You could also have someone else come in there and break the record. But I think that's at least a storyline that plays off everything that's happened over the past year, and it's something that is a simple story.
Yeah, and that could be something that's got great teeth to it. It really does. And it's, you know, like you said, it's got to be, they no matter what, they've got to spend this year doing better. I mean, they've kind of fallen backwards. I mean, you see, I remember they treated Sheamus a couple years ago as the Nexus was going on, and it took him a long time to recover from that. Barrett went out with an injury, but, you know, at that time you were thinking, God, could we get Barrett Undertaker next year after Nexus had put Undertaker out? And obviously that didn't end up happening, but, you know, Barrett and Ziggler and Sheamus, you know, even right now too, with everything being so thin, Ziggler, you know, another prime example, this has got to be a much better year for them. It's got to be a much better year for them cultivating people, because Randy Orton is always very shaky, and if, you know, John Cena, if he gets hurt and is actually legitimately hurt where they can't just drag him out there, and he's out for a significant period of time, you do have to look at yourself and go, you know, now what? CM Punk is great, but he also needs guys around him and guys he can work with, who can go back and forth with him on the microphone as well as everything else, and they've really got to do much better in cultivating that this year.
You could also have the WrestleMania 30 hook being some sort of unification match. I mean, they are moving even stronger away from the brand split. It really is no longer a brand split on the road. It's just going to be WWE shows, and the roster will be mixed up. You'll have guys working all of the shows, and I know some people will say that, well, if you're still doing two touring groups, then you've got to have two titles, and I disagree with that. I mean, for years it was like there was in fact, in the 80s, I mean, there was a time where they'd be running A, B, and C shows all at the same time, and you only had one world title. So you had an Intercontinental title on the other show, and maybe tag team titles or something like that on the third show. And the whole key is, if you're running two shows, you put the title in the bigger market, and you just have a big star, whoever, CM Punk or Randy Orton, whoever your big star is at the time, headlines the smaller market with no belt on the line. Or you build up the Intercontinental and U.S. title, unify them and make that a major title. But I think they need less titles, and I think they need to reestablish the importance of the titles. Obviously, it's worked wonders for the WWE title over the last year, and I think you do the same thing with the title if you unify it and unify the Intercontinental and U.S. titles. But another thing I wanted to mention is something no one's really talked about here for the Rumble and for Raw is The Undertaker. Need to keep an eye on The Undertaker. It is January. It is the Royal Rumble. And where is Undertaker? If he is not at the Rumble tonight, and if he does not show up on Raw tomorrow, I don't know if Undertaker is actually going to work WrestleMania this year. The idea was to do Undertaker versus CM Punk. And maybe the idea is that they're waiting until Punk loses the title to have Undertaker appear and challenge Punk. Maybe that'll all happen tomorrow night on Raw. I don't know. But usually, when Undertaker is going to be working Mania, I mean, he's around in some form or fashion, making some sort of appearance. I'd kind of been told here and there for the last couple of months that Undertaker may be appearing on this show. Undertaker may be appearing on that show. No Undertaker. He's just gone. And there were reports, in fact, in Figure Four Weekly earlier this year, that there was strong talk that Mania might be Undertaker-free this year, that he might not work WrestleMania. And I don't know what's going on, but if he's not at the show tonight and he's not at the show tomorrow, there may not be an Undertaker match at Mania this year.
That's interesting, and do you explain that away or not? I mean, they do a very good job, and they've never mentioned or breathed a breath about him. But I'm sure that's something a bridge they're going to have to cross. If there is no Undertaker, how do you go about saying that, or do they not say anything at all? In a way, it doesn't affect his streak, obviously, because if you're not there, you can't perform. But as far as, you know, him physically being there at WrestleMania, it's going to be a big hole, especially, you know, in New York, unless the plan is don't say anything at all, and he just shows up at WrestleMania in some aspect, which that wouldn't surprise me either.
All right, everybody, we're going to talk more about this after the break. You are listening, of course, to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are talking the Royal Rumble, WWE's second biggest show of the year. We are here, of course, every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Also available, Sirius Channel 794, and the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. You can search Sports Byline, listen to all of the great programming, plus this radio show and archives archives up at WrestlingObserver.com as well. The Royal Rumble starts in less than an hour. Dave Meltzer doing live running play-by-play on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. If you don't get the show, or if you get the show and you want to follow along, WrestlingObserver.com is the place to go. I will be tweeting the show live at Brian Alvarez on Twitter. I'm about 20 followers away from the big 10,000. So I hope to beat that by the time the night is over. So check that out at Brian Alvarez. Semper Vivi is up at Semper Vivi on Twitter. And before the break, we were talking about The Undertaker perhaps not working WrestleMania this year. If he's not around tonight and he's not around tomorrow, I don't know if he's doing the show. A lot of rumors earlier in the year that he was not going to work WrestleMania this year. I don't know why. Maybe holding out for WrestleMania 30 is his retirement match. I guess we shall see. But Mike had the idea of him perhaps just not being mentioned on the show and then doing a big surprise appearance to Tombstone Pete Rose, I don't know, at WrestleMania this year. But he has missed WrestleManias before. It's not like the streak would end or anything like that. He has missed WrestleManias in the past, and I guess we'll see if he makes WrestleMania this year or not.
Well, can you imagine Brock Lesnar or Triple H beating the tar out of Brock Lesnar and busting him up or something like that, and then, you know, they do a retake of the UFC thing? Where, although I would assume if The Undertaker is going to make a surprise appearance at WrestleMania, it will be more than just him sitting in the crowd. But you could do some sort of take off of that. Or, again, there's a lot of things you could do just with The Undertaker's presence there that night.
Trying to think. I can't imagine Brock beating Hunter again. I just figure that obviously this match is taking place so Hunter can get his win back over Brock. But, I mean, if Brock re-signs, and he's been offered a new deal. Brock has been offered a new deal. I don't know if he's re-signed, but if he does, I mean, I suppose Hunter could beat him, and then Brock destroys him afterwards, however you want to do it. But if Brock destroyed Hunter, and then the lights went out, long pause, and then Undertaker's dong hits, and the lights come up, and out he comes for a stare down, and you announce a year in advance, next year at WrestleMania, the streak is on the line, Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar. I mean, to me, it works better, obviously, if Brock beats Hunter and beats everybody else. That's the best way to do it, is Brock beats Hunter, and he beats Randy Orton, and he beats whoever the last guy is, maybe Sheamus, all on this rampage towards next year's WrestleMania, where the streak is on the line in Undertaker's final ever match against Brock Lesnar. That's a big, big main event for WrestleMania 30, a big-time match. So it's possible they could go that way, but I guess we'll see.
Be crazy dramatic. You know, Brock could be beating down Hunter, and Undertaker comes out, and, you know, he scoops up Triple H, who's all a mess in the middle of the ring, and helps him up in the same way that the Triple H helped up The Undertaker 2 years ago, and then Paul Bearer could come, you know, you could see him, and they could both just go to the light of Paul Bearer.
Go to the light of Paul Bearer.
Maybe a little bit too dramatic. How many times has Paul Bearer been killed?
Five.
He's still technically dead now, right?
Not technically. He's still alive. He's still around.
Well, that's true, yes, but you ever watched the show Wings?
No.
Okay, that was a show used to be on Thursdays on NBC, but there was a guy on there, a character, Roy Biggins, who was always like a stunt double for Paul Bearer.
A stunt double for Paul Bearer?
Yes.
Unfortunately, Paul Bearer does all his own stunts, like being buried in cement.
That's true, or being at Lewozy. He was in a freezer, he was teetering on top of a pole or something like that when Edge put him up there.
Mm-hmm.
All of this in a wheelchair.
Speaking of Brock, by the way, Dana White announced last night that, in fact, they were close to putting together Brock Lesnar versus Fedor Emelianenko at Cowboys Stadium. And it fell through in approximately August of 2012. And this is a very interesting story. It's all true, which I'd heard a lot about this at the time. And I talked to various people about it. And it's funny because the story I heard was that that Brock's contract did not prohibit him from doing a UFC fight when he was with WWE. And people in WWE told me, well, that's completely preposterous. There's no way he can fight while he's under a WWE contract. But Dana has now come public with the fact that they were negotiating a fight in August of 2012. That's last August. And I don't know when the fight would have taken place. Maybe the idea was they were negotiating for a fight after Brock's contract expired. I don't know. Or maybe it was all true. And in fact, if they would have set it up for last month, Brock Lesnar, while under contract to WWE, could in fact have fought for UFC. And it was interesting because when they did the Triple H match, if you recall, after the Triple H match, which Brock won, he announced he'd retired. I don't know if maybe they did that because there was a thought that perhaps he's actually going to go do a UFC fight, so we should say he's retired from WWE. I don't know what. I need to find out more. But fact of the matter is, during this period, Fedor's father died. And Fedor told Lorenzo Fertitta, I guess, that I'm going to go home and I'm just going to spend the rest of my life with my family and I'm done. And when Brock heard that, he said, I'm done too. That was the only fight he was going to take, was that fight with Fedor. And now that fight is history. And UFC is heading to Russia sometime in the next year. And, you know, I suppose it's possible they could try and put together Fedor versus Brock. But Dana thinks that Fedor is never coming back. And the fact that Brock seems open to another WWE deal, I mean, who knows? Maybe it's the same deal and he could fight for UFC if he wanted to, but I don't think Brock's ever going to fight again as well. But just very interesting that a lot of things that were rumored at the time, some of which were denied, apparently were true. So, very interesting story.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, too, in hindsight when it's like, you know, any semblance of any of those types of rumors were shot down immediately. And, you know, most of it, you know, it was played and reported was more of, you know, would WWE, you know, have some sort of tie-in with UFC or something like that. And there was a whole bunch of things that got knocked around and were said in that time. And obviously, Brock leaving, you know, saying he was done and walking away. And what was a very odd thing, which ended up being good because it led to Paul Heyman and CM Punk. But yeah, and you know what? Good for Fedor for saying that and good for Lesnar for saying that too, because you know, it probably wouldn't have been the greatest fight in the world, but it would have been such a great spectacle to watch. But it can't be replicated with anybody else except for those two guys, you know, going head up with each other. So, you know, good for both of them, frankly, under the circumstances.
UFC on Fox was last night, and Demetrius Johnson and John Dodson, you got that, everybody? Flyweight championship was on the line, and I was not all that bullish going in. Particularly about the main event. I guess we'll see how the quarters do for the main event match. But I felt that the show was going to do all right because Quentin Jackson was fighting. They played Jackson up big. He's a charismatic guy. He was all over the commercials, and there were commercials all over the place on football. And my belief was that the UFC on Fox shows during football season are always going to do all right, good, sometimes great with the right people involved. And the shows over the summer, the spring and the summer, where they don't have football to, you know, we don't have football commercials during football season, those aren't going to do so well. And it's kind of been the pattern anyway. But last night, Fast National numbers, 3.77 million viewers and a 1.8 in the 18 to 49 demo. These are all very preliminary numbers. Don't have overall numbers. Looks like it's probably going to be right around what the show on December 8th did, which is a big success. So football season apparently equals success for UFC on Fox. And the main event was not a detriment at all. And it was a very good fight as well. And what were your thoughts on the show last night?
I thought it was good. And, you know, and coming into it, it felt more like a UFC on 3 type of deal. Even with the football advertising, it just didn't feel quite right. The way they advertised, you know, you're going to get a title fight, that would kind of harken back to, you know, you're going to get four big fights on UFC on Fox 3, which I think ended up averaging out to being 2.4 million viewers. It was, you know, at that time the lowest. 3 and 4 both did about the same. And it just, you know, it didn't feel great, but it does show what the football advertising and that tie-in does as far as driving home, the combat sports fan, it's a natural fit if there are lots of, football fans and hockey fans that tend to gravitate towards UFC or tend to be a good fan base for them, and it makes complete sense, and that's obviously showing itself to be the case. And then, the card for the most part lives up to it. You got knockouts, you got blood on national TV, which is always kind of amusing for a longtime MMA fan who knows how squeamish TV people can be. And then you got an exciting main event, which, probably wasn't aesthetically great to the average fan tuning in and watching, and it's going to be interesting to see exactly how the ratings do break down and everything. But it was exciting, and it was a, if you didn't know any better, Dodson and some of the things he was doing may have, made the fight a little closer into some people's eyes than maybe it really was.
Big controversy in the main event, if you want to call it that, was there was an illegal knee thrown by Johnson. Dodson had one hand on the ground, and Demetrius threw a knee to the head, and a timeout was called since that's an illegal blow because this was a downed opponent because of an idiotic rule. But regardless, he did break the rules. And had a point been deducted, two of the judges would have scored this a draw, which would have meant it would have been a majority draw, which would have, necessitated a rematch. I want to get your thoughts on the scoring after we come back from the break and what you think should have happened, Mike. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Sirius Channel 794 is available as well. The TuneIn Radio app has a Sports Byline channel. You can check that out and listen to the program live or archived. And at WrestlingObserver.com, we archive the shows as well. In fact, we have a subscription area at WrestlingObserver.com, $10.99 a month, where we do daily radio shows, sometimes several shows a day, sometimes as many as 5 shows in a single day. In addition, every single show we've ever done, thousands of shows, are available in the archives right now. $10.99 a month. It's all it costs. I've gotten emails of late from people who have gone back and they have just now finished, after a couple of years, listening to every single solitary show. Yes, it is possible. If you want to start, if you've got a commute, if you like to listen to stuff at the gym, like to listen to stuff before bed, just want to follow wrestling and mixed martial arts in audio form every single solitary day, sign up for WrestlingObserver.com. You will not regret it. If you like this show, you will love WrestlingObserver.com. And if you want a sample, scroll down the right-hand side of the page at WrestlingObserver.com, a listing of our latest free radio shows. And if you follow me on Twitter, I always tweet when a new radio show, a free show, has been posted. So a very important Twitter to follow, at Brian Alvarez. Also there tonight, I'll be doing live running play-by-play of the show. Again, that's at Brian Alvarez. Dave is going to be doing live running play-by-play on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com for the Royal Rumble. And Mike Sempervivi, at Sempervivi on Twitter. So all very important things to follow. Sign up for the website. I promise you, you'll love it. If you love this show, it'll be the best thing you've ever done. $10.99. Sign up to WrestlingObserver.com. We are talking the UFC on Fox show here in our final long segment of the program. And Mike, your thoughts on the illegal knee last night? Should it have been a point deduction? Should that fight have been a majority draw? Or was it fine the way it was?
No, it was fine the way it was. I'm glad that John McCarthy was in there, obviously for some comic relief later on when it came to Dodson's eye, but more so because of the position Johnson was in, and it's tough where he was with the underhooks. He can't see. His head is on Dodson's back. Dodson is bent down, so he's relying on his corner and the referee to tell him when Dodson's hand is on the ground. And it's just one of those tough things, and that's, because of that reason, because of the positions, and obviously you can talk about this doing jiu-jitsu, because of the positions you're in, sometimes you don't, how are you supposed to know that that man's hand is on the mat? And things are going to happen, and, it would be one thing if he was, fouling ridiculously throughout the fight or something like that, and then this was the last straw, but that wasn't the case. It's fine with a warning. It obviously didn't do too much damage to Dodson, and I think that's the situation, too. If he would have thrown the thing and he knocked out his eye socket or something like that, then maybe you have to take it by a case-by-case basis. But I think under the circumstances, in a title fight on national TV, I think, discretion in that case was a better part of valor. And it made sense because, look, I gave Dotson two of the rounds. On my scorecard, I would have had that a majority draw. I would have fallen into the draw category. And even though it was a close fight, even though it was a fun fight, even though Dotson, did do great work with, against Johnson in some cases, it was very clear Demetrius Johnson won that fight. And I think maybe that, and again, earlier on, I didn't take people, maybe it took them a little bit for granted that maybe they thought Dotson did better than he did against Johnson. But when you have a draw on national TV in a situation like that, it does lead to a lot of people openly asking, people hate draws, and it leads to them openly asking or being, turned off or frustrated. So I think it was really the right call because, again, Demetrius Johnson won that fight, and it wouldn't have made any sense for it to be a draw.
I hate that downed opponent rule. Basically, if there are 3 points of contact, you're considered down. So you could be standing completely upright with straight legs and lean forward and put one finger on the ground, and you're immune from knee strikes and kicks to the head, which I think is just lame. To me, a downed opponent is you've got a knee or elbow on the ground, period. You got a knee or elbow on the ground, you're a downed opponent. Anything else, you are not a downed opponent. And he kind of did it, actually. But if you've got a guy in a front headlock, front face lock, arm and guillotine, whatever you want to call it, and that dude's standing up, and the reason he's putting one finger on the ground is because he doesn't want to put his knees on the ground where you just go take his back. So it's a loophole that people exploit. I'll just put one finger on the ground, and then it's going to be harder for him. You could just jump on the guy's back, but it's going to be harder to take the back when you're on your legs standing up straight with one finger on the ground. So you're obeying the rules, but you're looking for a workaround. So, and Johnson kind of did this, but guy does that. I just think you should jerk him upwards a little bit, and as you do it, throw a knee. Because when he threw that illegal knee, he hit him right in the face, and the impact knocked his arm off the ground. So his hand was on the ground when the knee made contact, but by the time the knee was off the guy's head, his hand was off the ground. So if you've got a guy in the headlock and you see the hand on the ground, just jerk him up a little bit so his finger comes off the ground and knee him right in the face. And then the guy will either go to his knees or he'll get out of there. But I hate that rule. I think it's such a stupid rule.
Well, even more than that, though, you can keep the rule. Somebody's going to argue you can keep the rule for this reason. Demetrius Johnson did such a good job at the end of that fight. Now, granted, Dotson had slowed a lot by the end of that round. And Johnson, just never loses energy. And he held him, and he then started throwing knees. And he started to pepper the head. And every time, that Dotson picked his hand up, he'd hit him in the head. When his hand went back to the ground, he would elbow his shoulder and work on his side. And it was very well done with the position that he had him in. And that, every time he was told Dotson's hands up, he would throw it and throw the shot right to his face. And then at other times, as soon as his hand went back down, because obviously Dotson wanted to stop those shots, he just decided to go to the arm and to the body. And that was very, very good work by Demetrius Johnson.
I thought Johnson looked really good in the fight. I thought it was, obviously he's always been fast, but I thought he fought a great fight. Obviously Dotson's a guy off Ultimate Fighter and still a very good fighter, very, very powerful. But, Demetrius, even though he lost the first two rounds, you could just see in like round three what his strategy was, which was just, I'm going to keep moving forward, 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 make this guy run backwards and get him tired, and then I'm going to beat him. And that's exactly what he did. And it worked, and it was a very good performance by Demetrius Johnson, and he survived some hard shots. So he's a tough guy, and that was a good fight. Also on the show, Quentin Jackson and Glover Teixeira. Everybody expected Teixeira to run through Jackson, and Jackson looked good for Quentin Jackson. He wasn't a great fighter; he got tired, but he did well, all things considered. And when it was over, Teixeira won a decision, but it wasn't like I was clamoring for him to get a title shot or anything like that. So Quentin Jackson appears to be done with UFC. He stormed out before the press conference, told Dana, "You'll miss me." And I guess we'll see the future of Quentin Jackson. Your thoughts on that fight, and where does Quentin go from here?
Well, Bellator, you know, unless he can, you know, somebody decides he's got a money mark in Japan, or there's a money mark in, you know, somewhere else that's trying to bring him in, Poland to the KSV or whatever that organization is over there. I'm sure he's going to have some spots and everything, but frankly, realistically, no matter where he goes, I can see him back in the UFC for his final fight. But like you, I mean, I thought Teixeira would knock him out, and I started getting into this, you know, well, maybe it is the end for Rampage, and obviously, you know, there's just some guys that Rampage can't hold up to, but with that said, I also wasn't trying to drum him out the door or anything like that. It wasn't like a Liddell thing or other guys who you see get knocked out or embarrassed in a fight, and it's like, oh, God, please, you know, whatever you do, just retire now. I didn't get that impression with Rampage, so, you know, good for him that way, and you know, he may bounce around. Maybe Bellator is the way to go for him, and he can, you know, work TNA too or something like that. But I just think it doesn't, you know, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense for him not, for his final fight, whatever it is, to not be inside the UFC. And hopefully a lot of this can be, you know, ironed out. And whoever, you know, Rampage can come to his senses, or, you know, maybe he can believe Dana came to his or something like that.
Also on the Chicago card, we had two quick finishes in the opening matches. We had Ricardo Lamas getting a big win over Eric Koch with these vicious elbows on the ground. And that was when I was watching, and it was like, this is Fox TV. And there's blood everywhere, and he looked like he poked a hole in the guy's head with his elbow. Or popped his eye out or something. It was absolutely brutal. And then Anthony Pettis destroyed Donald Cerrone. Quickly, like very early on in the first round, and then he asked for a championship match, and then he asked for a bonus, and he got one of them, and it looks like he's going to get a championship match, although it appears they're going to be doing the Gilbert Melendez fight with Ben Henderson first. What are your thoughts on that? Should they go with Gilbert Melendez, or should they give Pettis the shot?
Oh, no, they should definitely go with Gilbert Melendez. I think what they should not do with Pettis, though, is if I'm Pettis, I don't exactly... I really negotiate who my next fight's going to be against. I try to throw up everything I can just because he does not want to lose that shot as he did the last time. So I would go that direction. But to me, it's hard for you. It's really hard not to do that fight. I mean, that's the one you really got to do, you know, with the show, because that's where the whole Strikeforce versus UFC thing, it's one of the few fights that actually means something. Rockhold, Kennedy, you know, Jacare, all these other guys, it doesn't mean anything. Melendez, obviously that one means the most, and because of the tie-in of Cesar Gracie and the whole nine yards there, that's the one you really, to me, you should do. But if I'm Pettis, again, he looked great, and, you know, the game plan he had was fantastic. So if I'm him, I just try to be really careful because he already lost one shot. You don't want to lose another.
So that is UFC on Fox, everybody. It was last night. I'm sure. Actually, I don't know if they replay UFC on Fox on Fuel if you haven't seen it yet. But I would guess most people listening to this got a chance to check it out. And obviously, a lot of big UFC shows coming up. But the big news is in moments, the Royal Rumble is starting. And we spent the first hour really really building up that show and talking about it. And apparently there are returns coming, some surprise returns coming tonight, as well as some surprise returns coming tomorrow at Raw. And it's going to be big the next 3 months. It's going to be a big next 3 months for WWE. And if you had to pick a name, I'm going to put you on the spot, Mike. Pick a name to return that hasn't been mentioned yet.
Huh. You know, I don't know. God, that we haven't mentioned yet. See, I'd like to be a legend. I'd like to be somebody wacky or something like that. You know, actually, you know what? I'll actually say Ted DiBiase Jr. is being one that, you know, would be an obvious one, but I hope a wacky legend. I don't know. I'm always up for hearing the Honky Tonks Man's music and him coming down.
Jake the Snake. How about that?
Snake, hey, he's supposed to be a lot lighter now and in good condition. You know, that wouldn't be a bad one. Although I don't see that one happening as much as somebody even wackier.
I was thinking John Morrison would return because he did the Dragon Gate USA show on Friday against Akira Tozawa, which is up right now, by the way, WWNLive.com. And he only worked the Friday show, and they've got Friday, Saturday, Sunday shows. They had him scheduled. And I figured, okay, he's only working Friday, not Saturday and Sunday. Clearly, he's going to be returning at the Rumble. But they shot an angle to set up his return. So maybe he's not in the Royal Rumble. Although I do know that when John Morrison left, the targeted return date for him was somewhere around the Royal Rumble. That was kind of his idea. So I guess we'll find out tonight. My gut tells me he's going to be there, but it is interesting that they shot an angle to bring him back. Maybe he's made an agreement that he'll do that match, and I don't know. Some guys get to finish off dates before they return full-time. So anyway, back in a moment. Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And Mike, speaking of legends, Bruno Sammartino is not going to be returning at the Royal Rumble. And my guess is he's probably not going into the the WWE Hall of Fame this year, although I suppose it's possible. But in today's Parade magazine, there was a interview with Bruno Mars, and he noted that he was named, for real, after Bruno Sammartino. Did you know that?
I think I had heard that before, yeah.
About that. What do you think about Bruno going into the Hall of Fame? Sammartino, that is.
Yeah, I wish.
Does Bruno Mars go into the WWE Hall of Fame celebrity wing before Bruno Sammartino?
He still may be more valuable there than some of the people that are in there, but I would love to see Bruno in. I actually had just fell ass backwards into seeing his last match when I was a little kid with Hulk Hogan in Baltimore against One Man Gang and Bundy. And I would actually love to see that. I'd love to see WWE 24/7 saturated with some of that old stuff, and really for that part of the story to actually be told by WWF, just because, you know, obviously now because he's in good graces, we'll probably hear about once or twice about Backlund's Madison Square Garden sellout run. Well, that's got nothing compared to Bruno's, and I just wish it would happen. It may never happen, and that's too bad, but I would love to see him in. I'd love for him to get Dominic DiNucci to actually, you know, induct him and for him to use his influence to get Dominic DiNucci in there, too. Why not? I mean, he's a guy that probably, in a way, belongs in because of the old Strongbow thing. And, you know, he was an integral part of WWF for a long, long time. So I wish cooler heads were prevailed, but, you know, I wouldn't doubt it if it never happens.
We're out of time, everybody. Check out the Royal Rumble, live ongoing play-by-play at WrestlingObserver.com. I'll be on Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. Mike Sempervivi. Josh Nason's on Twitter as well, at 1F4W. And, of course, Sempervivi, at Sempervivi. And, back next week. Later on tonight, new show at WrestlingObserver.com. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again next week. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.